sport.co.nz.
Radio Aqua, BRCA.
Sonny Bado, this is Radio Aqua 104.6. Thank God it's another Tuesday again. Radio Aqua 104.6. 6, the Ghanaian Association of New Zealand would like to take this opportunity to thank the general public, those who made that occasion on last Saturday, 18th of March. The celebration of our 60th anniversary was fantastic. All those who came, was a fantastic event. The special guests of honor, the politicians who were there, the wonderful women actually helped prepare the food for us. And it was the feedback that we're getting was amazing. And so thank you very much, those who came. And the photos and the videos are on Facebook. You can just go there and enjoy yourself. And also, just a quick reminder that the new look of Planet FM is so there's a new website available for the Planet FM, and you can download it on. There's an app. You can download the app, on your smartphone, and you can be listening to Radio Kwaba or Planet FM wherever you are, wherever you go. So, and it looks the new look of Radio Kwaba, the Planet FM. It looks fantastic. The website looks good. It looks great. You go in there, and you see the photos of yours truly. I'll be there as well, and the programs also are recorded and saved there for you. If you miss it, you can always go back and watch it again as well. You're listening to Sonny Badu. You're listening to Sonny Badu. I got a wonderful woman of God right in the street here with me. And she got a word for you. And she got a word for your friend. She got a word for your wife. Got a word for your sister, a word for your cousin. And you know what? I want to give you an opportunity to invite a friend. Just get a phone, test a friend, invite a friend, and ring a friend and ask them that, tell them, Radio Kwaba, it's another Tuesday again. And there's a wonderful woman of God here. She's empowered by God. She's going to speak the mind of God concerning little things for you to hear today. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Maybe your work was tiring, the week has been very hectic. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. God is going to touch you at a point of your need. And I've got Mrs. Adela right in the city here with me. And welcome, Mama.
Yeah. And thank you for the opportunity to come to the studio to encourage our women, our girls out there. And I pray that the comfort and the grace of God will not depart from any one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. I bring greetings, from the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I represent the Victory House, Auckland, New Zealand, and I bring greetings from my husband, Pastor David Adelowo. I'm here to represent the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, and we have our order of service. On Sunday, we meet at church from 10 to 12 for our main services. Wednesday, we are there from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And Thursday, we meet at different house fellowship centers. Friday, we're there from 11:30 to 12:30 to pray for 1 hour. And I want to encourage you to please join us during one of our services. I also want to encourage and to invite women out there to please join Victorious Women on the 8th of April as we pray for our men. We are going to be praying that God would enlarge the tent of our men and expand their coast, that God will actually make them to eat the good of the land as kings, that we are going to pray that they will be served by the land of New Zealand. So we want to encourage you, please join us on the 8th of April from 12 o'clock to 3 p.m. And I know that you will not be disappointed. Once more, I say thank you to the convener of this program. We do not take it for granted, the opportunity that you have given unto us. And I pray that we all make it to heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, I'm going to be speaking on a topic that I've titled, My God, Who Sees Me? And I'm going to be taking the text from the book of Genesis, and I'll read from verse 5 to verse 7. And Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, Thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleased thee. And when Sarai death had Ashley with her, she fled from her face. This evening, we are going to be talking about Hagar. And I'm sure some of us are quite familiar with this story. But maybe some of us are going to be hearing this story for the first time. We know the promise and the covenant, you know, between God and Abraham and Sarah. But I guess because they thought it was taking too long, they actually wanted to help God. So they made an arrangement for Sarai's maid to actually become the interim mistress, that is to sleep, you know, with Abraham. And the intention was for her to become a surrogate mother. And I think at that particular time, that was the culture. It was allowed. And we could see that, you know, the same thing also happened, you know, during the time of Jacob, that, you know, maids were actually given by the women in the house, you know, to their husband. But we can see that the Bible says that when she saw that she became pregnant, that she conceived, she became proud. She became haughty. She became abusive, you know, to the master. She thought, and I guess, you know, because she was a slave girl. So I think for her, maybe that was a status thing, that I used to be a slave, but now I sleep with the master of the house. So definitely I'm going to displace this woman because she's barren, and I'm confident that she won't even be able to bear that child. I don't know, possibly she heard, you know, Abraham and Sarah discussing, you know, the promises of God concerning them, that he was going to give them a promising child, and he was going to make them to possess the possession of the land that they found themselves in. And so maybe in her heart she thought, okay, since God is delaying, and since it seems Madame is barren, I've been elevated, and I can confidently say that she's actually waxing old, and she's past, you know, menopause, so definitely she's not going to be able to bear that child. So when she found that she was pregnant, the Bible says that she became proud, and she became disrespectful to her master. And you know, women being what we are and what we do, you know, Sarah now wanted to blame Abraham for it and said, look at what your maid has done. Is it because I've given her to you to lie with so that she can raise a child for us? Is that why she's despising me now? And she blamed Abraham for that. And Abraham said, don't blame me. I'm out of here. She's your maid. You can do whatever you like with her. And the Bible made us to understand that she dealt with her harshly. The Bible says that she maltreated her. And looking a little bit into meanings of being treated harshly or being maltreated, it means that she was oppressed. It means that she was afflicted. It means that Hagar was dehumanized. And possibly because she could not continue to bear the hardship, like I said, she thought she was going to become the madam of the house. But now that the master of the house said, it's none of my business, you know, you deal with it, you know, the best way you think you can deal with it, she's your servant. And so possibly she saw that betrayal, and she saw that, lack of commitment and lack of faithfulness from Abraham. The Bible made us to understand that she fled. So today we are also fleeing as women. We're fleeing from different things. We flee from oppression. We know the society that we live in. Most of the time, women are not really regarded as anything. But the message that I bring from time to time is, women, I want you to know that if nobody loves you, if nobody cares about you, that God cares about you. That is my message, that Jesus loves you. If you happen to be the only one in the whole wide world, Jesus would have died for you. And so it's so shocking that when she fled from the face of the master, and she was actually heading towards, Egypt. That is where she came from anyway. So I don't know, as Christian women, we left Egypt, you know, we gave our life to Christ, but because of affliction, because of situation that we cannot handle, we are actually running back to Egypt. The Bible made us understand that she was going through the wilderness. So I do not know the wilderness of life that you are going through now. And the wilderness experience is usually lonely. Like I said, are you a single woman? Are you divorced? Are you separated? Do you think that there's even no hope? Are you going through one sickness or the other, one diagnosis or the other? Are you being relegated to the position of nobody by your culture, by your cultural values, or even by the system that we find ourselves in? I want to assure you that God who found Hagar that day will find you in the mighty name of Jesus. So the Bible made us to understand that God saw her. Verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And I want to assure you today, I don't really know the oppression that you are going through. Even if you are not seeking God, even if you are running from that affliction, that problem that somebody actually cost for you, or even if you actually orchestrated the problem and you are reaping the result, and you are actually running away from that affliction, you are running away from that system, you are running away from that problems, and it means that you are despair, that you are hopeless, you have given up, your spirit is crushed within you, I can assure you that God sees you. The Bible made us to understand that the angel of the Lord found Hagar at where she was. So today I want you to reflect on where you are at in your relationship, in your career. I don't know if your boss is maltreating you. I don't even know if you've come to New Zealand, you know, as a migrant, hopeful that things will work for you, and things are not really working for you. Maybe you have come even as a skilled migrant, and there was this beautiful picture of New Zealand being painted as, you know, a lifestyle country. It is a lifestyle country, but things are not really rosy, you know, the way you expected it. And maybe you're actually packing your bag. But I want to assure you that that state that you are at, that God sees, that God knows, and that God will find you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the wilderness of your life, God will find you today in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible even made us to understand that the eyes of God is watching. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of God are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So, like I said, either you think you're in a miry clay, and you think that you will never come out of that trouble, you have actually given up, like I said, you are running away, I can assure you that that place that you think you are, that nobody sees you and nobody cares about you, the way the angel of God found Hagar, God himself will find you in the mighty name of Jesus. And one thing that is beautiful about God is when he finds you, he brings the plans of God back to you. He reminds you of the plans of God. When God found Mary, for example, she wasn't expecting that message. She wasn't expecting that she was going to bear the Messiah. In fact, she was a virgin. She said, I've not known any man. How is this going to happen? But because the plans of God are sure for our lives, because his thought in Jeremiah 29:11 says, I think about you and I plan for you, and I've got you in the palms of my hands, and I will bring you to an expected end and give you a bright future. So either you are seeking God or you are not seeking God, or at a particular time you sought God but now you have given up, and it seems that trusting in God, waiting upon his promises, is becoming very hard. Most of us actually go through that. Sometimes we did not expect that, you know, we have financial hardship. And all of a sudden, we lost our jobs. Some people have actually lost their jobs for so many years. Some came, you know, into New Zealand, skilled migrants, you know, they have the qualification, and all they tell you is that, oh, you are overqualified for this position. I want to assure you and I want to encourage you that God has not abandoned you. Even when you feel brokenhearted, maybe your promises that have been made to you has been broken. Maybe you've been violated. Like the case of Hagar, I'm sure promises must have been made to her. When they brought her in to be the surrogate mother, I don't know if they have actually paid her any money at that particular time. But since she also did not remember her beginning, she became rude, you know, to her master. And because she did not obtain that humility, she did not continue in that humility, she was treated with hardship. But I want to tell you, like I said, if you actually orchestrated the hardship that you are going through now, or some people actually put you in that trouble, maybe somebody put you in that miracle, I want to assure you, the way God found Joseph, even in that pit that has no water, God will find you today in the mighty name of Jesus. If you have given up hope, you are not even reaching out to anybody, you have gone into isolation, you don't talk to your friends anymore. In the wilderness, definitely, that is what you do. You isolate yourself. And your needs are not even met. You can imagine a pregnant woman, a young woman, going back to her country. If I had a daughter who came back like that with a pregnancy, would I welcome her? So definitely it would have been a case of isolation to isolation, marginalization and oppression, and being treated harshly. Even in the wilderness, she must have faced hardship. She had animals, you know, a security, a wealth, you know, to contend with. But God did not, the beauty of it is that God saw everything. God did not leave her in that situation. God did not abandon her in that situation. Even when her heart was broken, the Lord came to her rescue. The Lord appeared to her. When she wasn't even appearing God to appear to her, the Lord Jehovah El Rohi appeared to her. And he says, mentioned her name, Hagar, Sarai's servant, maid. Where are you coming from and where are you going? So God knew her. God knew her identity. God even knew what was on her mind, where she was going. But God knew that the thoughts that she had in her mind was not the best for her. And so I want to assure you today, you know, by reminding us that in Psalm 34 verse 18, the Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted. And I saves the ones who are crushed in the spirit. I don't know that situation that is making you to be crushed in the spirit. Maybe you are a young mother and you just, you know, had that baby and there is nobody to support you. And you're feeling, you know, isolated. You feel very depressed. I want to assure you that you should please look up unto God. And to remember his promises, because he says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. And like I said, that the way God found Hagar, that God will find you wherever you are today in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, you know, the angel knew where she was at that particular time. And though Hagar did not know that, though she was not expected to give birth to the promised child, God still had a plan for the baby that she was carrying. The baby was going to be her own promised child, though it was not the child of covenant. It was not the promised child, but the baby was still going to be a promised child to her. Let's see, in verse 8, it says, it was asking her in verse 8, and in 10, the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Thy shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because of the Lord had heard thy afflictions. That is another big step there. He says, you are going to give back to a child. Is I'm going to bless him. I'm going to multiply him. He will not be little. No, he's not the child of covenant. So sometimes we're out there, we're carrying some babies that we don't even know who the father is. Maybe because it was one night affair, or the guy was very sweet talking and, you know, things like that. And when it happened, you went to him and said, I don't know you. I don't really want to have anything to do with you. And so most of the time we look at those babies and we say that we call them maybe bastards. But I want to assure you that there's no unwanted baby. God, the day, even before you conceive that baby, God has plans for that baby. So I don't know who I'm speaking to out there. You're carrying a pregnancy. You've lost hope. You don't even know. Maybe the father is dead. Some women are that in that situation. I've heard of a woman, you know, she got married and the husband died, you know, before she even gave birth to her first child. I want to assure you that you are not alone. That child is not alone. God has plans for that child. God has beautiful thoughts for that child. And God was reminding Hagar here that I have heard your affliction. So we can see that God is a very good God. Sometimes, you know, we want to question God. So why do we have all these calamities? Why didn't God stop this? Why didn't God stop that? God has given us our willpower. God has given us that choice to choose between death and life. And so if we choose death, what is it going to do? But I want to assure you that in some situations, it actually comes to our rescue. And that is the favor and the mercy that this beautiful young woman, you know, Hagar, had. The Bible made us to understand that God sees and God heard. And God found her in a wilderness. And God even located her where there was a stream of water. Is that not beautiful? Does that not show us, you know, the kindness of God and the compassion of God? And God even described, you know, the kind of wealth that would be entrusted, you know, to this boy. So it's not, it's like I said, it's not the promised child. But definitely, he was the promised child to him. And the angel of the Lord said, he will be a white man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So it means he's not going to be a little man. He's going to be a great man. He's going to be a mighty man. And we know the beginning and, you know, the end of the Ishmael story. And so in verse 13, Hagar was surprised. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God sees me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? So it means God sees me, but I've also seen him now. At a particular stage, I was lonely. At a particular stage, I was dehumanized. At a particular stage, I felt marginalized. At a particular stage, I felt neglected. I felt abused. But now I can see that he thinks about me, that he plans for me, that he sees me. He actually came looking for me when I was not looking for him, when I was going around, you know, shadows, chasing child shadows. He was chasing after me. He was chasing after me with his compassion. He wanted to reveal his love to me that is genuine, that he loves me, that he will not leave me, that though my husband has abused me, that he's not going to abuse me, but he will look after me and he will make his promises to come to pass in my life. And so that revelation came unto this young woman. It means she had an encounter with God at that particular time. And her perspective changed. And the angel said, this is what you are going to do. You need to go back to your master and submit yourself unto her. She went back. I don't know if she really submitted herself. because I don't know the values that she had, but in the light, she gave birth to that promised child. So as women of God, what can we learn, you know, from this beautiful story? I tag the stories that we hear, you know, in the Bible, beautiful story. I think the first lesson is that in the case of temptation, of finding ourselves in new position, we should not change our identity. She was known to be a maid, though she's been promoted. But because she was promoted, she became proud. It is not the plans of God for us to be haughty. You know, if your situation changes, if you become the leader or the manager, God wants you to still be humble, because that is what they ask her to do. Go back and humble yourself. So in any situation we find ourselves, let us continue to be humble. Another situation is, don't let us be foolish in hasty decision. I don't know if she actually reflected on that offer that she was put to her. I do not really know if she understood that God's promises, either they are taking ages, 50 years, 100 years to come to pass, that God is true and is faithful to his word, and that he will still bring his word to pass. I don't really know if she knew that she was going to be used and dumped. I don't know if she had the capacity to actually reflect on the consequences of our behavior. And I pray that God will help us even to see the way God wants us to see today, in Jesus' name. We should also remember that whatever we find ourselves doing, the divine plans of God is there. Though it wasn't the plan of God for Abraham and Sarai to have, you know, a child out of their wedlock, but it had happened. And so God had planned even for the slave girl, and he had plans even for Ishmael. So we should be clear about the plans, the divine purpose, and the divine plans of God concerning our lives. In our cultures, and as Africans, we do something which is beautiful. When you give birth to a child, you're either praying or checking. You know, even the traditional people, they have a way of checking. Oh, why is this child, you know, born to us? They want to find the destination, the purpose of God concerning that child. And if you are born into a Christian family, it actually helps them to pray with you, to help you, to actually get, you know, to fulfilling the purpose of God. And I pray that we will learn such lessons. A great women of God, will we take our stand to pray for our husband, our children, to pray even for the members of our family, for the divine purpose of God to be revealed in their lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. I also want to assure you that there is strength and comfort and encouragement when we go through hardship in life. And even when God has given us promises, it does not mean that it's going to be free of stress. There's nothing like a bread and butter Christianity. When God has given you his promises and it seems that things are not working according to your own plans and according to your own purpose or your timing, I want to assure you that strength, comfort, and encouragement is available unto you, and you can draw from it. Lastly, I want to assure you that in your scars, that God sees your scars. God sees your broken heart. God sees the wound that you carry. God sees the fantasies that you had that never became a reality, or became a reality for a while. But because that is not the plans of God for you, it actually faded away. The shadow that you are chasing, I want to encourage you to come back to the Lord, because he sees, he finds you, and he hears, and he has plans for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mrs. Ennard. One of the things that you said that was, I thought was very encouraging and very true, was the aspect of sometimes we have people have get pregnant, they get children, we got unwanted children. And I read it the other day, and someone said, there's nothing like illegitimate children. Yeah, once the child is born, they are legitimate. Yeah. And there's something like illegitimate relationship, but for a child to be born, we cannot call them illegitimate, you know. And they are a wonderful gift of God. And I believe that for us as a people, no matter what the situation is or no matter what the circumstances is, we need to be able to honor. Because it's not a child's fault that they came to the world. No. But it's the decision.
We actually decided as parents, you know, to bring, you know, those children to the world. So we can't punish them for the sins that they did not commit.
And I mean, and also this come to mind to the point that as a people, we need to be able to ensure that when we are bringing kids to this world, we have to be prepared. You know, we just don't bring them like back home. Sometimes you have children and then you expect our aunties and grandparents and stuff to be able to look and to raise them up for us. Because if you're not ready, then you know, because I know that they, if you bring the child to this world and you are not in a position to raise them up, you are punishing them. And you are putting the burden on the society. And you are putting the burden, example in New Zealand, you are putting the burden on the government,
on the state.
And our pastor says something like, you know, you don't have, you can't complain if you cannot raise up your child and the government steps in to raise them up for you. You can't tell the government how to raise up your child. Mm-hmm. But if you are responsible, the government cannot tell you how to raise your own children.
They won't come to your rescue.
Thank you very much, Mama. And we just want to encourage us as a people and whoever is listening to us that let us make that effort. Every child born is legitimate. They got every right to be on earth, and we have got every responsibility to raise them as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. God
thank
bless
you, Mama.
You.
God bless you, and we'll see you again next week. So this is Radio Akwaaba 104.6, and we're hearing, listening to Radio Akwaaba, and we're going to go back again, listen to Sonny Badu, and after that, we'll go come back to you again live again. You're listening to Radio Akwaaba 104.6. shouting out to all our wonderful viewers on Facebook, all our wonderful listeners on 104.6, and all our wonderful listeners on www.planetaudio.org.nz. This is Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM. This program is sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. And you're listening to Sonny Badu, Sonny Badu. We're building our audience a little bit, and very soon we're going to go live and have a discussion post Ghana at 60 celebration analysis. I got my wonderful guest here in the studio here. Emmanuel Badu is right in the studio here with me. And very soon, President of Ghana Association of New Zealand, Frank Amoa, is going to join us in the studio as well. Okay, yeah, so we're going to go ahead. I think very soon the president of the Ghana Association of New Zealand will join us right in the studio here. And while we wait for him, we're going to go in the studio. And I want to just shout out to my wonderful wife, you at home, Rosemond, and the kids, Ebenezer and Emanuela. You always watching me live on Facebook and listen to me as 104.6. Thank you very much for the wonderful thing you've been doing. And God bless you. And also, we want to shout out to also to all the wonderful wives of our guests in the studio here, Mrs. Badu and Kwesi's wife. We're just wonderful for allowing them to join us in the studio to share their knowledge, their experience with the rest of the group, and for those on Facebook and those also in New Zealand. So very soon, I'm going to go to Ima and we're going to start our discussion. Yeah, so the Ghana Association of New Zealand would love to thank all our wonderful guests, those who came on the on that day, the MCs, the guests of honor, Auntie Melissa, Honorable Melissa Lee. She's the Nationalist MP for Mount Albert. She's always been there. We call her Auntie Melissa because she's always been there with us. She's always been there for us. And she's been supporting the African community, and we are really privileged to have that connection with Honorable Melissa Lee for being there, and all that other wonderful leaders from the African community, the Akofi leadership also was there. And my understanding was about 300-400 people came to join us on that day to celebrate our independence and anniversary. And it's been wonderful. Thanks to New Zealand, thanks to the African community, thanks to the executive, thanks to the planning committee members, thanks to the ladies that have made a wonderful occasion, made the cooking and everything, Salome, Isabella, Rosemond, and Afua, and all the wonderful people, Rhoda. And I can't mention all your names, but all of you did a wonderful job for preparing the food, and whatever you did, we are really blessed, and we are very thankful for what you guys have been doing for us. I'm going to go right in the studio here with Ima, just to share his knowledge, his experience, and what his analysis is regarding the event on that day. Yes. Okay, Ima. Welcome to the studio, Ima. So we are very privileged to have you to join us in the studio here. So the lines are also 815-8100, 815-8100 if you are calling from New Zealand. Okay, so Ima, tell us, what is your analysis? What do you think about the African, the Ghana City celebration last weekend?
Good evening to our listeners and good morning to Ghanaians wherever they are listening to or watching us. For me, it was impressive. I think that would be my first comment. Mm. Because, you know, I entered the hall. I was expecting something big, and I think I saw something even bigger. Mm. And so if you look at it, in terms of the organization, it was spot on. The decoration, how the place looked, it looked fantastic. So for me, the organization was good. Now, if you look at the program itself, the show, the sequence of events, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed what Robert Fuga did, and we enjoyed ourselves throughout the night. And if you look at the food as well, now if you go to programs, there are things you look at.
Yeah.
The arrangement, the organization, the show itself, and food, especially for Ghanaians. And surprisingly, I monitored, and I realized that everyone who came there got something to eat.
Yep.
And I didn't hear any complaint of people about the food or anything of the sort. Mm-hmm. And I think people were happy. They enjoyed the show. They enjoyed the organization. They loved the arrangement in the hall. And I think probably because I'm new as well. Mm. For me, this is standards.
Yeah.
And there are some standards that we met. I've been to the previous Ghanaian, you realize that this one was a notch higher. Very, very different. I've not been to the, because I'm new, I didn't see the previous one.
Yeah.
But the one I saw on Saturday was just very good.
And most people that came, some people had opportunity to take food home as well.
That's an observation I made. That's what I said. The food was not just enough, it was tasty.
Yeah.
It was good. It was well prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think everyone there had enough to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good mark for me for a party.
So what will you say? Because the last time, when we were doing just before the celebration, we've been coming here and every week we've been talking about it. And what you said this the other day, and you said, nobody's going to tell our story for us. We're going to tell our own story. Mm-hmm. And this event was an opportunity for us to tell our story to the New Zealand population. Do you think we were able to tell that story? We were able to present that message we wanted to tell to the New Zealand people, the New Zealand or the politician that came there? Were we able to present that story, or were we able to tell that story to them?
I think we did. Now, these are my reasons. First, I'll take it from what the Melissa Lee, Honorable Melissa Lee, said about our unique identity, about who we are. Mm. She says something that is not just about the music and the dance, but what makes us who we are, and that's unique. Yeah. And so Ghanaians, Africans are unique by that. Mm. And I think she enjoyed her presence there. Mm. Where I sat, there were two, I would say European, I'm not too sure where they are from, but I'm assuming they are European descent. Two of them, husband and the wife, and they sat very close to us. And they made interactions with my kids. They were very happy. They enjoyed the music, they enjoyed the food. And so that to me was satisfactory. Now again, if you look at telling our story, you realize that, and to me this is important, you find that in all the celebrations I've attended so far, the annual meeting or whatever you call it, there's not been any time that lots of our own half-siblings who are mostly the Pacifica show up.
Yeah.
They rarely do.
Yes.
But this time you realize that most of them showed up.
Yes.
And they became part of us in our celebration.
Yes.
And that to me is very fundamental and important, because going forward, we can define Ghanaians to include all our blood, everywhere, anywhere, coming together, increasing our numbers, and making claims.
And talking about our Pacific cousins, and most of them are related to us by marriage, some also by blood, because their parents are Ghanaians. And in saying this, I'll probably acknowledge Enesina Bonsu. She did a wonderful job as well. Enesina, if you're watching us, you did a wonderful job, because you came there
and you show a blend of the island culture and that of Ghana. She combined it, and that was fantastic. And in saying this, I think Lesina did a wonderful job. Okay, so Mr. President has joined us in the studio. Frank has joined us in the studio. So Frank, I hope to tell her, you give us, if you're talking about the analysis of Ghana as 60 celebration, what is your analysis on what happened and what feedback are you getting from people in terms of how the program went and all those things?
I would like to say hello to your listeners and viewers. To me, I have really had a lot of positive feedback from a lot of people, especially non-Ghanaians. Mm. They've been saying, wow, you Ghanaians, you know how to organize things. Your program was well organized. The food was good. So far, we've been receiving a lot of positive feedback within the community.
Yeah. So, and also, beside that, in terms of acknowledgement, is there any people that you want? Okay, just before I go ahead, Kwesi Atejima, you've joined us. You're watching us from Bristol. So, thanks for joining us. And the feedbacks are coming. So, just once you join us on Facebook, just tell us where you're watching us from, and we will acknowledge you as well. So, in terms of people we need to acknowledge, those who made the program successful, is there any people that you really want to acknowledge or just say thank you to them for what they did on the day?
Yes, I would like to thank my executives, the Ghanaian Association executives. Yeah, they did really good job. And also, I would like to thank them for supporting us as well. Mm. And I would also like to thank the Ghana 60 Organizing Committee. So they did really good job. Because without them, I think this program would not have been successful. Mm. And I would also like to thank the whole Ghanaian community in New Zealand. They did well. Brought from Wellington and Raston from Hamilton, from Wellington as well, and Eva and David, they came all the way from Hamilton to support us. So we thank them for supporting us.
And Robert flew all the way from Napier.
And Robert flew all the way from Napier as well to support us as well. And I also like to thank Grace Esuma, our new MC.
I was going to mention it because she was amazing, and yes. I think for me when I watched her, I was like, we've got a new MC for the next Africa Youth Festival.
Yes, so I think Dr. Charles Jamna mentioned that. You know, that he was really happy to see the young ones start, you know, stepping up. So thank you, Grace Suman, if you are watching us.
Yeah.
And also want to thank our sponsors. So we do have the New Zealand AIDS Foundation, they sponsor us.
Yeah.
And Bethel Living Christian Center, they also sponsor us as well. And also the New Zealand African Welfare Service.
Yeah.
So thank you all to our sponsors.
Yeah, thank you very much. And also the Burundian group, I think what's his name? Pierre is watching us on Facebook. I've seen him just log in and watching us on Facebook. So your group was fantastic.
Yeah,
And one good thing about, our independence, because we mentioned here the last time that our independence, Ghana's independence, opened the doorway for the other African community to get independence. So it was great to have the other African group coming to perform as well. Like, we had the Bruneians came, and other group were there. I saw the Akofi president was there.
The Akofi president,
And so, for me, I look at it, it's like, you know, we had the whole of Africa coming to join us to celebrate this event, you know. And the room was packed. And I think it was wonderful at the committee, everybody.
And even the food committee, we'd like to thank Salome and her team. They did really good job for preparing the food for us.
And when I saw,
we did let two people to count the numbers so that we'll be able to know how many people attended.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had one of them came up, says 367. Yeah. Then the other says 402. So when you find an average, you'll be around 390 or 400. So when I saw that crowd, wow, maybe the food will not be enough. But thank God the food was enough.
Wonderful,
everybody had...
Mr. Thomason, I promise I'm going to acknowledge you. You need to acknowledge me for my hard work. So, it's not easy to collect money from people, to be honest. I promised you, I said I was going to acknowledge, so I've acknowledged your father. Mr. Thomason, you did a good job because to collect $50 or more than $50 from a Ghanaian,
it's not easy.
And we saw the fight, the complexity, and all the thing that was going on, and I think it was part of the game. So it was good. Yeah. So another thing also, the theme was mobilizing for Ghana's future. And I think we look at it when somebody mentioned this during the program to me, and he said, in Africa or among the Ghanaian community, when we travel around, we are... Sometimes we have less committed. We don't want to join the group. For a big event like this, we just, boom, everybody comes. Where is everybody coming from? And they disappear, and they come another 10 years. They come back again.
Turn up again.
But the theme was, we need to mobilize. We are mobilizing for Ghana's future. What are you going to tell Ghanaians in terms of the mobilization that we need to, in terms of coming together? Have you got any message for our Ghanaian brothers and sisters who are there, who are watching us on Facebook, who are listening to us on 104.6 or www.planaudio.org.nz? What message have you got to them in terms of the mobilization in New Zealand?
Yeah, I would like to encourage Ghanaians in New Zealand that this event shouldn't be one off thing that you come and go. So what the executive have decided that we'll be having a general meeting very soon, so that we'll be discussing issues affecting Ghanaians. So that we want you to be part of it. Bring any topic on board so that we will discuss it on that general meeting. And also April 16th, which will be April Sunday. Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll be having a barbecue on the park to say thank you to all Ghanaians for supporting, and also be playing a soccer as well. Yeah. So we just want everybody to be involved in the community. So please don't stay home. Try and be involved.
So Easter Sunday, we are calling all the Ghanaians. We are going to. So where is the venue going to be? It might be
our own usual place, Avondale, Riversdale Park.
Okay, yeah. So it's wonderful. So Josephine Nkrumah also have joined us on Facebook. So once you join us, just tell us where you join us. So let's look at somebody who might be sitting there and thinking, so what have I? Why should I join a group? I'm here. I got my job. I got my family. I go to my church. And why should I have to bother, join a group and all these issues and other things? What have you got to say to people who are out there and they're wondering, why do I have to join the group? Why do I have to join an association?
Yeah, the association was set up to discuss issues and support Ghanaians, issues affecting Ghanaians in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just sit down and say you belong to a church, then you don't have to support your community.
Yeah.
Even if there's any emergency thing that happens, the hospital, they will ask you, do you have any community here?
Yeah.
They will not say, do you have church? They will say, do you have any community here? So please, don't just stay home. It's good to go to church, but please try and be involved in your community as well.
Yeah, and also because sometimes when things happen, sometimes the church, most of our churches are multicultural. So the ability to understand the issue that we're going through is very hard. But if you join your community, we understand the issues. You don't have to try so hard to explain. We understand the issues. We understand whatever has happened. So it's easier to be able to get association, come to step in and to fight on your behalf. There's so much that the church can do, And so I know you've not been in New Zealand for long, since you've been here, you've been quite active, in the community. You've you've been on the studio working for the Ghana Association of New Zealand and promoting. You were part of the committee that set up African Youth Festival, that set up the Ghana 60. What have you got to say? The benefit of being a member of an association, because we need to go. When we travel, people like the occasion, we got all these minor issues happening. What have you got to say? The benefit of joining, an association.
The benefits is what we had on Saturday. The party was fun. And today I'm hearing the president say, on Easter Sunday, we are going to have barbecue in the park. We'll play soccer. Is it going to be married against or married?
Yeah, the married. The single ones.
Yeah, that's the good thing now. So those are the benefits. But I think more importantly, it's the issue of...
Okay, so what about just... I think there's a caller. There's somebody calling. So I'll just quickly take a quick phone call. Hold on a second. I'll just take a quick phone call now. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Mianad one speaking.
Yeah, Ofa.
Oh, Ofa. Good evening. Welcome to Radio Kwaba 104.6.
A wanted man. We'll be here with me.
Yeah, Mwanungo.
William said, Mwakanina, you've said it all, and I just want to chip in and then say a big thank you to all Ghanaians as well, those who paid and those who didn't pay. I mean, we had a fun, and I think those who did not pay, they now understand why we wanted them to pay, and I hope that next time they will do their best to contribute, because now we are going to have barbecue, as the president said. We'll probably not come to them for money, because maybe we can look into the account again and see if we have some left. We haven't yet. So if anyone is sitting out there and did not pay for the 50, if you want to pay it now, no problem, because We cannot say keep your money and then we keep our pockets. We still need money to run the association. So any donation or whatever it is, we are ready and we will take it. We thank everyone for making it a success, especially those who paid the money, because I had a big time just reaching people for the money, and from their own heart, they contributed very well. So I'm very grateful to that, and I believe that the president and the executives are also happy. So I don't know what to say now, unless you have any question for me or...
We just wanted to acknowledge you for your hard work, all the thing that you did. It was amazing. So thank you for your contribution, and whatever you did, it was good. It's not easy collecting money from people, we understand. Oh God, Mr. President, have you got anything to say to Mr. Thompson before he goes?
Hey, Mr. Thompson, thank you for your support, but it wasn't that easy job, as we said, for collecting money from a Ghanaian. Wasn't that easy, but yeah, thank you very much for your hard work, because if it wasn't you, we wouldn't have been able to raise enough money to prepare the food and pay for the hall, and also to fly Robert all the way from Napier to join us. So, Mr. Thompson, thank you very much. And we know because of your hard work, we can always count on you for our next project.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay,
yeah,
so thank you very much.
Before I go, if you don't mind, before I go, just since I'm still... we are still talking about money, I would just remind all Ghanaians that we need to continue to pay our dues as well. And that is something that will make us feel belonging to the group. And if we need anything, we already have some money, and we may not come the way we came last time because we will have some money in the coffers already. So I'll plead with you. I think the president will probably also mention something about it, that everyone has to pay the $60 for the whole year, which when you break it down, it's I think it's $5 a month. Already we are in the third month, January, February, March. Yeah, and some people have paid. Some people have finished paying the whole $60 for the year. It's per person. So don't... probably think that, oh, when you pay, your wife is not paying, because people have already paid for themselves and they've paid for their wives as well. So yes, but if say ufri asian tem brunsua and when you don't wait till last minute before we chase you for the dues, because probably we are not going to chase you for any dues. Mumei na yenye na yenye fe kwancha ya defe ye disika na ye kwachia defe ye disika na ye. We are pleading with all Ghanaians, don't make it difficult, don't make it hard for us. It's the same account number, just use your name as reference and then write a deuce. Your name and then you write deuce against it. Even right now, if you do it from henceforth going, when I see it, I know that it's probably deuce. I can even call you and inquire if it's, maybe it's just a donation. But if it's deuce, that will be very good. So that by the end of the year, maybe 31st December or 1st of January, we may have something in the coffers and we can maybe have big parties. So that's all I want to add up. Mikasa wow.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so now let's back to the studio again. We're back in the studios. The callers, those who are watching us on Facebook, so what's the treasurer for the Ghana Association of Newsroom, Mr. Thompson, joining us. The next topic is we're talking about the importance of getting our voice, letting our voice be heard, you know, as a people. There's a lot of things. So we talk about the importance of, because I'll start with you on this. The importance of we coming together, letting our voice be heard, you know, and fighting for what we need. Because the last time we mentioned about the other community groups, we talk about the Pacific groups, the Maori group, all the different community. If you go into the government, the way the government does that in terms of funding, allocation, everything, most of them have got quotas. Like in terms of admission, no admission to Auckland Uni, the Maori has got a quota. The Pacific group has got a quota. I'm not sure about the Indians or the Chinese group, but most of the community group have got quotas. But Africa, we don't have a quota. Yeah. But the point is, but even when you apply for funding for scholarship, there's a scholarship particularly for married student. There are scholarship for Pacific Islands student. There's a scholarship for different group of people. But Africans, we don't have. So one of the benefits for us as a people to come together is to be able to assess some of these things, you know. But imagine looking at you are a father and you are into research, health research and all those things. You know? What have you got to say? The benefit that when we come together, you know, we need to be able to lead some of these things. Because the last time we were having a discussion, you were very passionate about some of these things. But what have you got to say to some of these things that the benefits that we can get as a people when we come together?
I think the issue is, apart from what we enumerated earlier, the party, the fund, and all that, the real issue has to do with, is it any politician looks at numbers? Mm. For any politician, it's looking at what will be the impact of what I do. Mm. Mm. And so if you want to come and tell me there are a group of people called Ghanaians, how many are they?
Yeah.
Because if it's about, even it's about voting, how many are you to vote for me or otherwise? Mm. And so what will be the impact if I'm spending money on you? Yeah. And so given that our numbers already, we are not that many, coming together is so important. We can't do it on our own. And I think the danger is we risk thinking that, and that's sometimes that's what, it's something we have probably have brought from home. Because most times we think about ourselves, once I'm okay, we don't really concern ourselves with what happens to the larger group. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. If we want to make a statement, I think this even goes beyond the Ghanaian to the African group. Yeah. If we want to make a statement that these are people living in this country, these are people who have needs, these are people whose cultures are dynamic, then we need to show who are we, what are our numbers, where do we live, what do we do.
Yeah.
And if you leave it as it is now, then people make decisions for us, they tell us what we need to do, and it doesn't suit us well. Yeah. And so if you talk to some of them, they'll tell you that in some of our communities, there are issues. You have adolescents who are growing up. You have young people who are growing up. These people want to be part of New Zealand. They don't want to be part of Ghana. How do we help shaping them if we are not together? And so if I sit in my home, I've not been here for too long, but my daughter comes home and now she's speaking to me in a way that even I find it funny. I don't really understand her. But she's trying to adapt, and she's adapting quickly. How do I raise my kid if I don't be part of a team that have people like the president who's so experienced, who's a social worker, can help you raise your kids and all that? And so I think we need to go beyond the pettiness and look at the collective good for all of us. But if you leave it as it is, I'm not too sure how that would be beneficial.
Yeah. Mr. President, what have you got to say to this?
I think, as you must say, that the numbers are very important. Because many times when you apply for funding, especially like my work, when you apply for funding, then when it comes for the interview, they ask, how many Africans are living in New Zealand? Then we will say 30,000, including South Africans. Then we will say 24,000. So we don't even have the numbers. So this year, our organization, New Zealand African Welfare Service Trust, we are doing a research to find out how many Africans living in New Zealand and how many of them are the youth. And I remember that Emmanuel came to my office, I think last year, was just trying to interview me about his research. And I gave him a lot of people's contact. But some people don't want to be involved. Some people even don't want to be interviewed. So if you don't want to be interviewed, how is the government going to know how many Ghanaians or how many Africans live in New Zealand? And if the government don't know the numbers, they'll always play us around. Because Tuwe did a research and Tuwe said 67,000 Africans. So if we go to the government and we say we have 67,000 Africans living in New Zealand, then the government will fund us or the government will support us. But if we don't know the numbers and the government turns up to maybe an African event and there's only 100 people there, the government will tell, okay, these are the 100 people living in New Zealand. Then we don't have to fund them. We will fund the Maori and the Pacific. So I think my little bit advice is we need to get together. We need to mobilize ourselves. If there's an event or a meeting, let's attend the meeting because we never know who will be attending the meeting.
And also when this is very interesting because when I was just coming, I was listening to News Talk ZB, and I think it was Larry Williams was on the show, and they were having an issue about immigration. And one of the guests on the phone said something, and I thought that was quite was for me to be frightening. That he said, "Yeah, I'm okay with immigration, but he don't like the idea that we have to come here, we want to live our life like we are back from back home. So when if you move in Uzan, you have to be a Kiwi.
Yes.
But because the point is, we the African group have to fight for our people, that when we come here, we don't have to we want to integrate and be part of the society, but we don't have to throw away our culture, who we are, our personality, our identity. But who will be able to help us to be able to adapt without letting go who we are, our culture, and as a people? And I think for me, it's very important that these community groups need to come together. You know, I think and coming together, we come together to fight for the good of our own people.
Yes.
You know, not for any individual person. If God, we have issues that whereby some Africans, some Ghanaians have gone back to Ghana, they got stranded, and we have to, as a community, we have to come back and then fight for them and bring them back. Call authorities and stuff as well. And I think this is why we are here, you know. Because if it's left everybody, we can all go back and do our own job, get our clock in, clock out, and then come back home, and then we go to retirement. And then, you know, but we know that there's a bigger cause, there's a greater call on us as a people, as an African, to be able to fight for people who are underprivileged. You know, and I think, I know, Ima, you did a research, and the last time you mentioned about the idea that most of people, African, they come to New Zealand, English is even the problem. Yeah. And then getting them to be able to access support, it's a bit of a challenge. Are you able to just give us a little bit of an idea about, I mean, from your experience, the challenge in accessing support, especially as an immigrant or as a refugee? Oh, yeah.
So the first one would be lack of knowledge about these services. Most of us who come in, like myself, who are new, we don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know about them. And so you're likely to just run on your own. If you don't meet people who know, who are willing to support you and to help you.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think somebody, my participants, said something, thinking about how do we introduce people into the new settings.
Yeah.
And you said something very important. Two things. You said the guy talked about when we come, we need to become Kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good. Because in every country, diversity is important for growth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our differences lie our strength. And so I can't be Kiwi. Mm-hmm. I'm a Ghanaian first. Yeah. But I will learn to be, as much as possible, an effective citizen of the country, which is get to know my rights, get to know my responsibilities, and live them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. I cannot assimilate. The difficulties, most of the young ones who are growing up here do not want to integrate. They want to assimilate. They want to be like the New Zealanders.
Mm.
And it's okay for them because they're young, they grew up here, they went to school, they've seen them, they've lived with them.
Yeah.
But how are we as a community supporting them?
Yeah.
And you see, all this goes back to the effectiveness of the community associations as we have them.
Mm-hmm.
There are challenges and there are issues. If you look at, for example, jobs, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Most people come here, one, your qualification is not recognized. They don't value their qualification. They don't value your experience. And so your status is reduced. You have to start from zero and climb up. Mm. Some can do it. Others cannot. And so if people come in and they are left on their own, then there are risk for their health as well.
Yeah.
And so you have lots of people who are living under depressed conditions and a very stressful environment, but they don't own up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't own up because they don't see the support readily available.
Yeah.
And just as the president said, the support will only come when we're able to show our numbers.
Yeah.
And so it's a cycle, it's just perpetuating itself, because if you don't show the numbers, no one will give you the funding. You end up, you keep crying, you keep making the argument, but we wouldn't be heard. This is very real. What I'm talking about is very real. There are lots of funding in this country, and it goes, if you look at Pacific Health, for example, it's established. What about African Health? I think previous, there's been a study by Mercy Union, and they interviewed Mr. President and others, who have they proposed to them to set up something like an African Health forum, sort of, at the Ministry of Health. We don't know. They've set it up, but I don't think there's any African part of that team.
So the committee was set up.
It's set up. It's still there.
But there's no African in there.
There's no African in there.
See, that's some of the problems. And I think there's some of the challenges. You know, and I think, Mr. President, maybe you want to probably comment on it, because they set up a committee to address issues affecting African, but there's no African on a member of the committee. How does it work? Because how are they able to fight for us if there's nobody even there who understand how you feel, you know, and I don't know how things like this get to happen, but are you able to give us a bit of knowledge about how this happened? You know?
I think that research, I was involved with that research as well, and it was very tiring, because those research was it was headed by a New Zealander, and the Africans there was just like, we are just like the workers there. So we just go there and you work, then they give you an hour rate, which we thought that, okay, this research is for, even the government make it purposely for the black Africans.
Yeah.
That was like a little bit challenge, that why black Africans? I think we are all Africans.
Yeah.
But the government specified just only for black Africans. Then after the research, we didn't know what it ended up. So I think, yeah, Yuma is right, that, you know, they did the research, and we don't know the outcome of the research. Which all comes down to the Africans, we are not united.
Yeah.
We are not united. So when we unite, I think we can go far.
And talking about united is very important.
Let me give you one simple example, that a lot of people have been coming to my office, and like they do apply for funding through different organizations, like maybe the Cox organization, or the Sky City Foundation. And I'll be receiving a lot of phone calls from maybe Cox. Okay, Frank, I receive a lot application from, example, Badu office. Badu says it needs a funding for African youth. I've also received a funding from Kojo's office. Kojo needs a funding for African youth. So because we are not united, everybody's applying funding in the same organization and using the same African name to apply for the funding. Then they see us, we are jokers.
They
just decline. And if they approved, they will just approve $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah.
Whereby when you look at the other communities, other like Pacific, they are getting millions, but we are getting thousands.
2,000. The last time I heard, we got 3,000 for Africa.
And if you want to get 3,000, we are happy.
Because
we are not united.
One
project, there will be more than 20 different people applying for one project.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to come together and just map out who is doing what in the community.
Yeah.
So that we will support that person and do it well, instead of somebody just wake up and think that maybe there's nobody doing anything for African.
So I do
just create, you have to do something.
Yeah.
So that is the reason.
And
why,
and there's no communication, that, because if they know somebody's doing it, maybe they won't reinvent the wheels.
So they need to know, and so that we can have one voice, so that we have the numbers for the government to support us.
Yeah, and also talking about this, I saw Mervin I met him on the train, because we used to take the train together. And he said something, and I think for me it was very important. He thought about the importance of us coming together, because he said there's no unity. So nobody is fighting for the youth. People thought, there's a little research out there, there's a little problem here, there's a little problem. But what he sees and what he feels is that there's no unity in terms of our fight, the corporate fight for the liberation of the African youth. Most of them come here, they are struggling, and they're struggling to adapt. We want to force them to adapt, but then they want to live in Israel and go by the rule. But you know, who is going to fight for them? You know, and I think it's about time the African, we need to come together and be able to start working for our own people and our own good. You know, because we got a proverb saying and so I think and for me this call is very important for us to be able to, how are we going to do this, to be able to how do you think we should be African, we should go about this in terms of mobilizing ourselves and fighting for what belongs to us, because we all pay tax, and probably we pay more tax than some of the other community groups out there. So how can we do this? How can we play our part, you know, and ensure that we are getting our share of the taxpayers' money?
I think maybe in the Ghanaian level will be, we should turn up to the Ghanaian association meetings.
Yes,
because when you turn up to the meetings, we can present all these issues on the table, and the association executive will be able to inform the members that, okay, there's this community organization doing this for the youth, or this community organization here is helping the African youth for the homework club and everything. But if we don't turn up to meetings, then the executives cannot pass on all this information to the members. That is one of the issues. So maybe the best thing is for us to unite and attend meetings, so that we'll be able to pass on this information.
Okay, so Ima, what have you got? How do we need to approach this this issue in terms of coming together and fighting for what belongs to us? What do you think?
I think what the president said is spot on, and that I think is something we can do immediately, where we are taking responsibility for ourselves and knowing that if the Ghana Association works, it works for all of us.
Yeah.
If the association doesn't work, we all lose.
Yeah.
We may go to our work and do what we are doing, which is okay. You'll get by. But if you are thinking about the long-term effect of your kids or whoever who are growing up here, then we need to think about the association as a first point of call. Mm. Now, if you take that into maybe a medium to long term, and that's what, that, again, to what he said, we need to map out and know what organizations do what in New Zealand for African.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that came up as well. Somebody suggested that probably we should create a hub. A hub that says that this is more like an African thing, where like a Akofai is good. We can build on that.
Yeah.
Where we can create so that we know who does what in the community.
Yeah.
And how do we link up with these communities to benefit the people who need the support most?
Because
otherwise it seems disjointed. It doesn't mean there's still there are a lot of work going on. Lots of people doing fantastic things for the community.
Yeah.
But how do we put them together and make people know that this is what we are doing for our communities? So I think in the long term, that will be beneficial. That's something maybe executives may consider going forward.
Mr. President, so very soon we're going to go offline. Those of you who are watching us on 104.6 or www.planaudio.org.nz, we will go offline. So if you don't hear from us, it is bad. And those of us on Facebook, we will just take a bit of time to wrap up. Those of you on Facebook, so you can just continue watching. Or if you are on 104.6, you can just switch to Facebook and join the conversation, because I can see some conversation going on as well. Isabella and Rosemont and some people.